Tell Me Everything with John Fugelsang on Sirius XM Progress 127. Where the willow grew.
He, in cold blood, gunned down my husband and then stood over him and kept shooting.
I did come to prison because I did something terrible. I killed somebody.
I am only and just a murderer.
I was an instrument of destruction.
I am a conservative hardliner. And I got the death penalty. I got what I wanted. Nothing changed. I didn't feel better. It didn't work.
Coming to San Quentin, though, is actually what put everything in perspective.
It's really about being on a journey together to connect the dots of their lives that led to a crime, to walk deeply and profoundly in accountability.
I'm sorry for taking your son.
We are listening to portions of the trailer for the award-winning new documentary, The Prison Within. Thank you for playing that, Robbie. And I've been talking about the film a lot. The Prison Within explores the devastating impact of something we don't hear about too much in documentaries about crime, and that is the impact trauma has on individuals and on communities through the amazing stories of survivors of violent crimes and the prisoners who are incarcerated for murder in San Quentin Prison. I have been raving about this film because I've made documentaries in prisons myself. I've never seen a film that explains the humanity, the spirituality, the logic, and the economic sense behind what has come to be called restorative justice, a program that helps give incarcerated individuals the ability to understand and gain insight into the circumstances of their lives and the choices that got them there. What did they do that got them there, and what were the circumstances that led them to make the choice they made that got them there? It's a very powerful film. It will move you, and it will make you view incarceration and crime in ways you never have before. Catherine Hervey is the brilliant director of this film. She's a former LA public defender and a volunteer prison college instructor. She's the first filmmaker to gain access to chronicle these very intimate and powerful sessions, again, all shared by convicted murderers inside San Quentin Prison. Troy Williams is both one of the cinematographers on the film and one of the subjects. I mentioned him earlier in the show, and his story is very inspiring. He became a paralegal while incarcerated. He helped facilitate and participate in and develop the Victim Offender Education Group, or VOGUE. That's the curriculum for the Insight Prison Project. He served as executive director for San Quentin's Restorative Justice Interfaith Roundtable. He was paroled in 2014, and he is sort of a narrator and one of our guides for this deeply moving journey. He was awarded a Soros Justice Fellowship, where he's working to create a national multimedia platform that will help formerly incarcerated people document their lived experiences and engage the public. If you've seen my films, Dream On or First Degree, you know this is an issue very close to my heart, but I've seldom in my life seen a documentary that moved me as did The Prison Within. It's narrated by Hill Harper of The Good Doctor and CSI, and it is a pleasure to welcome Catherine Hervey and Troy Williams to SiriusXM Progress.
Hi, John. Thank you.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Thank you both. I'm sorry for the very long intro, but there's so much you're doing in this film. 6.7 million people are currently behind bars, the highest incarceration rate in the world, with only 4% of the population. 2.3 million people behind bars, another 4.5 million adults under some form of community supervision, including probation and parole. Mass incarceration costs us $75 billion a year, and the prison industrial complex just keeps on growing. I have so much I want to ask you about the film. I want to praise you both. I had no idea it would be this powerful. Catherine, let me start with you. How did this project come to take hold of your life? I've known you for a while, and I spoke with you as you were developing and shooting and doing post-production on the movie. What was it that made you decide to take on not just a film about prison, but the VOGUE program in San Quentin?
Thank you. Yeah, well, I wanted to make a film that breaks down the divisions of us and them, first of all, because I think really until we start doing that, we can't heal any of our personal and even collective trauma that we have as a nation. And trauma is really the connective tissue that we all share So I wanted to make a film that was really, really intimate, that takes the viewer into the hearts and minds of the people in the film, people that they may think they have nothing in common with or can never understand, and begin to understand and really connect to their experiences, or, you know, maybe even show that but for a set of circumstances, this could be me. This could have been me in prison for 25, 30 years. And a lot of it stems from all of my experience in different criminal justice contexts. So as a Los Angeles public defender, as you mentioned, as a volunteer college instructor, and then also working in different restorative justice contexts, both inside and outside of prison.
Troy, I want to thank you very much for joining us. Your role in this film is so moving. And I want to ask you about your involvement and how this program came to be developed. But I want to go a little deeper on this, because one of the points of the film is that most people in prison are first a victim before they victimize others. For those who have yet to see the film, why is it so important to understand this?
I think it's important to give like context to how people arrive to a place where they harm other people. Like what, like nobody, if you look at any child on a school playground, like the last thought in your mind is that, you know, this young child is gonna grow up to hurt somebody. Like we don't think about that. So it's easy to look at, you know, the 50-year-old gray bearded guy who's been to prison and say, yeah, well, this guy's a bad guy. But what happened? What happened in my life, and what happened in the lives of so many other men and women, like who wind up in that position, but not just in the position of having committed a crime that sent them to prison, yeah, but in the position to having them actually harm somebody. Because the harm that was done to me, in many ways, in my young mind, left me no other alternative but to try to cope with it in the best way that I could. And that's not just, I guess I'm trying to make sure that I keep the line that it is not just about people committing crime, but people committing harm against another human being, period.
Yeah, yeah. Catherine, for those who aren't familiar with this issue, what do we mean when we talk about restorative justice?
Well, most people refer to restorative justice as someone who has committed a harm and the person who a harm was committed against coming together and reflecting and healing and repairing that along with their communities, really before any sort of criminal justice context takes place. And that is not what this film is about. This film is really more about what happens when restorative justice does not interfere in the first place and the punitive system just completely comes in and takes over, which is of course how our nation works right now. But it's still using like the Vogue program that we follow, the Victim Offender Education Group, uses what I would say more restorative justice principles, mm-hmm, which is about, you know, connecting the dots of people's lives that led to a crime. So really, yes, Unpacking the trauma. But a huge, huge, huge part of that is also the accountability component, right? Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm, you know, in the film, they're connecting the dots, but then it's taken a step further and you really get to watch these men who have taken someone's life not be victims, but take really utter and full accountability for their actions and their communities and their lives. And I really feel like this is a big side of what is actually happening inside prisons, and we don't, yes, see it. Instead, we see the violence and the fear and the TV shows that just keep perpetuating that. And it's really time to switch that narrative.
Yes, I mean, we used to call prisons reformatories or penitentiaries, places where one would go to reform or be penitent, but now they're cages, and now nonviolent people are thrown into prison where they, in many cases, must become violent people. People are sent to prison for crimes where they must then commit crimes and commit more crimes. In this place, they're sent to survive. And the opening narration of the film, the opening minutes, I think is key, where Hill Harper says, experiencing trauma can change the way the world is viewed and how we operate in that world. In the aftermath of trauma, we change physically, emotionally, and mentally. Left untreated, trauma multiplies in our communities and seeps down from one generation to the next. That's how the film begins. Catherine, I could tell that that is a very, very important message to you personally and on a societal level. And it's a message I haven't heard in a film like this.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and then the next line after that is where we lock away what we don't want to confront.
Yes.
And it's funny, I was thinking about that line as we kind of logged in about 5 minutes earlier, and we're listening to the last part of your show, and the viewer asking, why are people, when did we get so stupid? And I was just really thinking, and you know, relates to the film, is that we as a nation, like, you know, we refuse to reflect upon ourselves and to look at ourselves. It's just everything is shoved under the rug. We refuse to look at our own personal traumas and our collective traumas of,
yes,
not having any sort of truth and reconciliation in this country, which is what has caused us to create our systems of mass incarceration in the first place. And restorative justice and what these people are doing, they're kind of like uncovering the dirt that we just keep, you know, shoving under the rug.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a
powerful moment in the film when someone says they're not being taught to make excuses. They're being taught to understand explanations. And Troy, you have a very beautiful quote where you said that restorative justice gave me a vocabulary for what my heart already knew. I'm curious what your experience was getting involved in this program and making all this happen. And then what was it that convinced you to trust a filmmaker like Catherine Hervey to share these very, very intimate and often painful moments?
That's a good question. I was sort of considered the resident filmmaker at San Quentin State Prison, and I saw it as my role to interface with any news, media, or journalistic organization that came inside the prison, because I was concerned about the type of stories that people were telling about us. You know, they spoke of the harm I caused when I was in my 20s, but nobody spoke of the man I had become in my 40s. And I wanted, when Catherine came in, you know, we're pretty adept at reading people. Like, and I tell people this all the time, like, my life has literally been dependent on me walking into a room and understanding the heartbeat of that room.
Yes.
So I understand on an intimate, nonverbal, communicative level if somebody has bad intentions. Right, I can get a sense of that. And what I got a sense of was somebody who was in agreement with the way I would have wanted to tell stories and would have wanted to reach the outside world. I also just want to say this part is that at the time of my participating with her, I was serving a life sentence. And I did not know when or if I would ever be paroled. But I wanted our voices to leave that prison. I wanted the world to understand who the men had become inside and who they were and how we can contribute to real change in our community if the community would only give us that chance.
So what is it then that makes the Victim Offender Education Group, VOGUE, at San Quentin, what is it that makes the program so effective?
Well, one is that this program was originally initiated by men on the inside. This program is facilitated by outside professionals and inside professionals. You're able to sit across from somebody who has a degree of skill at facilitating these type of programs, but you're also sitting across from somebody who is, they understand you and they understand, like, if I'm in a group and I'm facilitating, for example, it's hard for a person to hide behind the language or the words or certain things that we do not to be vulnerable. And to have somebody in that room that understands that and can call you on that in a way that you is respectful to you, and you know that they get it because they live the life with you, that takes you to a different level. Like it's sort of like the credible messenger who is coming back to tell you things that you need to hear to help you see what's around the corner. Right. When you can't be there.
Catherine, I'm curious about the stories you chose to tell. There are a number of people we meet in this film that are so moving. One of the most powerful for me is Sam Johnson Jr., who is a man who says...
Senior.
I'm so sorry. Senior, okay. Yes. He talks about his abusive father and the abuse he suffered at the hands of his father, and yet how much he still loves his father. And he says, the normal that I now understand is as physical abuse. I mean, and he understands it was passed on from his dad. My dad couldn't process it with the education he had. I can imagine there were so many powerful stories that you had to choose from, including Dion, who I've read about in a lot of the articles about the film, a white woman whose husband, who worked in a gun shop. Her husband was a policeman who was murdered. She clamored for the execution of her killer. And evolved to such a degree that now she supports restorative justice and is a leading opponent of the death penalty. I guess my question is, what is your process in putting together a film with so many different deep personalities with an incredible story to tell? And how did you go about figuring which narratives were going to help you tell the story you needed to tell?
So when I was developing the film, I already had the concept of the prison within, and that being this kind of like underbelly of the film that I wanted to explore. So I knew that it would need to include people on the inside as well as survivors on the outside. And it was actually Jamie Carroll's story that I found, who I know you know is in the film. Jamie she was abducted and repeatedly raped and tortured basically by a group of men when she was 9 years old and managed to escape.
Yeah.
And lived with trauma all of her life. And I read this beautiful article that she'd written that I found online where she was still like 40, 45 years down the road and still felt that she really hadn't healed from her trauma, and that all of the trauma that she'd experienced, she was realizing how the men who had kidnapped it and tortured her, the trauma that they must have had in their lives in order to do that, and started seeing that perhaps she's not as different as them. And
what do you think it was that made her first realize that? There's a lovely moment in the film, but where she first came to realize that humanity.
Well, so what she's talking about is this moment inside the film. It's where it's the first time that she goes in and sits with men in the circle. And that's actually where her true healing first began. So I think at first she started realizing that, and that led her inside the prison to sit in circle with men as a surrogate victim. And she sat with somebody who had also abducted not a child, but an adult. Right. And she, you know, to sit there with his humanity and to feel healing from him is where, you know, she says the earth just shook beneath me, basically, because she'd been sitting with this trauma for so long, and now all of a sudden it was starting to heal. It's Jamie that led me into San Quentin and into Vogue, because she was already a facilitator there. Okay. And from there, I started working with Sonia and really wanted to create a diverse group of voices, right? So it was Barry, who has PTSD because he was in the military. There's Sam, who has that very direct link with intergenerational trauma. There's Nate, who also has the same, but is a little bit younger and more raw than Sam. You know, Sam's kind of the wiser man in the circle.
Right.
And at the same time, Dion started proliferating in, also looking for her own healing. So it all just kind of started coming together. But it was, you know, they're all very intentionally there to create a whole.
There's a lot of terms I'd never heard before that I'd like to ask you about, just to, for our listeners to get a better understanding. And again, I can't encourage people to see the film enough, but I'd never heard of the concept of a surrogate victim before. And that's very innovative. I'd like to ask for either of you, what is a surrogate victim, and what is the idea behind pairing an offender with someone called a surrogate victim in the Vogue program?
Right. So yeah, a surrogate victim is, as we, you know, work with it through the Vogue program, is somebody who has either been the victim of a crime that is similar to the one in which the participant in the program has committed. So in my case, when I went through the program, having been convicted of robbery, the surrogate victim in my panel was somebody who was the victim of robbery. And it's actually through that pairing that I was able to get a deeper understanding of what she went through as the victim, a robbery victim, right? Because originally, and this may be hard for some people maybe to grasp, but originally, like when people say, well, what do you think your victim went through? Like, okay, I could imagine they were scared. I could imagine all of these things, but if you've been living with fear all your life, then just the words to say somebody was scared doesn't really give you the impact or doesn't evoke the empathy required for transformation or necessary for transformation, right?
Right.
And when you watch somebody, you just, both of you connect with each other on just a deeper level because you understand things about the crime that only somebody who's committed it will understand, and that provides some healing and some connection for them, and they understand some things about their own fear that actually helps you understand your own impact as a person who's been victimized as well.
It's just the humanity and the empathy and just seeing it build in people. It just, the entire film fills me with hope, not just for those behind bars, but for those on the outside, that they might be liberated from their own toxic and self-defeating views of what people in prison are really like. And that's why I think this is a film that every Law and Order type needs to see. I mean, Catherine, you've noted that reformation of the criminal legal system really is the next great civil and human rights battle. How broken, and again, you worked as an LA public defender, how broken is our country's current model of incarceration?
I mean, it couldn't be more broken. And we, everybody, I mean, I feel like even the most kind of like conservative lock them up knows that it's broken, right? Even if they have an economic, even if it's just based on, oh, we're putting too much money into it. Everybody knows that it's broken. It is so systemic though that I think it's hard for people to unpack. But it is possible, and that's what, something that was very important to me from the very beginning of making this film, is I feel so often you watch films about mass incarceration and you come out exhausted. You feel like you have to take a 5-hour nap, and where are we even going to begin? And you know, I think it starts with us. It starts at the community level. It's Absolutely. You know, it's piece by piece by piece by piece, and you know, it's actually, I think, personal healing before you even start with the collective healing as well. So
yes,
it's big, it's huge, but it's doable. And you know, I'll say this one more time, it requires us to look at our history in this nation of genocide and annihilation and slavery up to mass incarceration, and to start to unpack that. And in it's not going to go away unless we do that.
I'm curious, Troy, could you explain to us what a survivor's panel is? The amount of terminology that I learned in the film, and you know, it's no big secret that for every dollar we spend on prison education programs, we save $5 on reincarceration programs. So we know the things that work, but it's seldom that one film has crammed in so many different things that do work. And I was most moved by this. What is a survivor's panel, and what did it mean to you?
Well, the survivor's panel is sort of, you know, we even though we coined, like, there are different phrases that we use based on clarity or understanding, we mostly refer to people who have been victimized by crime as survivors, right? Like, yeah. To call somebody a victim, especially in the context of prison, is such, it feels derogatory to a degree. Right. It feels like a put down to a degree. And survivor points to, I think, more to a person's strength than it does to than it does to a weakness of some sort. Like and it's, I guess, in a degree, it's like reclaiming a little bit of power. And so when we have a survivor's panel, people who come in or people who have been victimized by crime, to call them survivors is just a step of us acknowledging their strength and really placing them in a higher regard. You know, in the world of prison itself, when you call somebody a victim in prison, it's not a good term. You know, it's not a term that's empathize with in victim. It's like a put, it can be considered a put down.
Mm-hmm. Of course. I'm curious for the both of you, because again, Troy, you worked as a cinematographer on this project, and so your influence is all over it. What did you each find the most challenging in the making of this film, be it procedural or just the mechanics of shooting inside such a challenging place as a correctional facility like San Quentin?
You want to start, Troy?
Yeah, I can. Well, I think on a personal level, it was not knowing when or if, like, if I would ever get out of prison. Like, but yet still knowing that you have to do something. Like, I wanted to leave a legacy. Like, I wanted to do something to change the narrative. And I think the other challenging part, and which is what, you know, helped me garner so much respect for Catherine, is that there are so many other filmmakers and people who come in that try to take our stories and make them theirs, yes, and make it more about them than it does to actually serve the community.
Exactly.
And I think my challenge, because, you know, there was a lot of filmmakers who came in before Catherine that I've just refused to work with or refused to even sit across the table from, because I didn't trust them. And I saw, and even some came in and took projects and made projects about them and their organizations and didn't give back to the community that they took from.
Right.
And so I think as that, I have a major problem with that part. Because to me, it's the slave ship all over again when somebody just comes in and takes your story and doesn't give credence to the person in the story. So I think that was what was challenging.
I get that.
Yeah, exactly.
I did a film about the college education program in Sing Sing prison here in New York, and I heard many of the same things, that very often filmmakers come in and they want to do something that's exploitative. That is the opposite. This film is not just moving. This connects to so much in our political dialogue right now, including, well, not directly referencing Defund the Police, but Catherine, I want to give you the last word. In our final minute, what do you hope your audience comes away with after watching this very moving film?
Well, I hope they first of all recognize that we can do this, that we can change the system, and that it begins with us. And I want people to also recognize that the change makers and the leaders in this movement is Troy, it's Sam, yeah. it's Michael. Yeah. It's the men and women who are coming out of the system, who have been so involved with the system, going back into their communities, who can speak to the communities, who can speak to the experience, who can speak to us, are the ones that we need to follow and can lead us the way out of this mess.
I want to thank you both so much. I am not exaggerating when I tell you that this is the best film I have seen in 2020. The Prison Within, it's devastating, it's inspiring, it will make you feel so much, it'll make you view so many things in a different way, and it's available on demand on Amazon, on Apple as well. And what are there any other best ways to see the film, or where should people go to learn more, Catherine?
Yeah, Amazon, iTunes, Google Play, Microsoft, YouTube, Comcast, AT&T, a bunch of cable networks. Yes. And I just want to say thank you also to the wonderful team that made all of this happen.
Thank you both. I'm not going to stop telling people to go see this movie. Catherine Hervey and Troy Williams, what a pleasure. The film is The Prison Within, and we'll be right back on SiriusXM Progress.